This morning, I want to take a look at the book of Luke, chapter 2, reading verses 21 through 32 from the Good News Translation. And it reads this way. A week later, when the time came for the baby to be circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name which the angel had given him before he had been conceived. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons as required by the law. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people, Israel. This is the word of God. Amen. Union, I have a confession to make. I have a flaw. And I hear Edwin saying, you got more than one. I have a flaw. I hate waiting. I hate waiting. Can I say it again? I hate waiting. But I know I'm not alone. I don't know anybody who likes waiting. And this makes life difficult because I'm convinced that life is just a series of waiting events strung together. We spend most of our time on earth waiting. We wait in line at the grocery store. And I don't know about you, but somehow I always manage to pick the wrong line. You know, the line where the person ahead of you wants to argue about the price of every item in their cart and then proceeds to pay the bill in coins. And because I'm impatient and I get tired of waiting, I always make things worse by getting in another line. And guess what? The line I was in immediately starts to move. And the cashier for the line I'm on has to go and check a price for a customer. We wait in line at the bank. There's always just two tellers, one of whom is a trainee who's got to call somebody over for every transaction. As soon as I get close and I feel like the wait is almost over, the experienced teller goes on break. And because I'm impatient and I haven't learned to wait well, I usually give up and decide to do it later, and my whole day is completely ruined. We wait at the gas station. Never fails. The driver of the car in front of me is always blocking an open pump. He finally finished filling his tank, and yes, it's always a man. Just as I think I'm finally going to get to gas up, he goes inside the gas station and decides to shop for beer. Can I get a witness? I know it's true. And because I'm impatient and I haven't learned to wait well, I'm aggravated and upset and mad with the whole world. We wait for mail that never seems to come when we want it. We wait for deliveries that are always delayed. We wait for buses, trains, and planes that never seem to arrive on time, and on and on and on. this year has been spent waiting for a cure or a vaccine for the virus, for an end to separation from our loved ones, for an end to waiting for shelves to be restocked with paper towels, toilet paper, and Clorox wipes. We've been waiting for life to return to some semblance of normalcy, waiting for a better, more compassionate government, waiting for this current administration to come to an end. Help me, Lord. Waiting, just waiting and waiting. And because we haven't learned the art of waiting well, we've done some things that don't make any sense. We're hoarding items, which is why the shelves are always empty. We're doing things that are detrimental to our health, like gathering with family and friends. Because we haven't learned to wait well, some of us are miserable and on edge all the time. And others are despairing. But my brothers and my sisters, hold on. Help is on the way. Some of us are waiting for things in this world to be made right. Waiting for a time when black and brown people won't have to live in fear of being killed by the police every time they leave their homes. Waiting for a time when our right to vote is not continually in jeopardy. Waiting for a time when minorities are finally the beneficiaries of the same rights as the majority enjoy. Just waiting for justice to run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. And because some of us haven't learned the art of waiting well, we're miserable and we're on edge all the time. But my brothers and my sisters, hold on. Help is on the way. For some of us, God has promised us something. Years have gone by and we're still waiting. Waiting for that promised partner in life. Waiting for that door of opportunity to open. Waiting for our healing, our deliverance, our fill in your situation. Waiting. And we're just plain tired of waiting. We're miserable and we're on edge all the time. But my brothers and my sisters, hold on. Help is on the way. Make no mistake about it, waiting is hard. Waiting can be frustrating. Waiting can cause you to push past God and implement your own plan, a surefire way to fail. Or at least not to have it be all that it would have been if you had let God direct you. Waiting can make you lose hope and become desperate, take matters into your own hands, and do something that does you more harm than good. Don't go there. Don't do it. My brothers and my sisters, you hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. As I read Simeon's story, I couldn't help but think about what it must have been like for the ancient Jews. The Jews knew something about waiting. When Jesus was born, they had been waiting hundreds of years for their promised Messiah, the one who would finally arrive and save them, just as was done for the children of Israel in Egypt. They'd been waiting for the one who would come and deliver them from oppressive Roman rule, bring healing to their nation, peace to their lives, and equality in their circumstances. Does it sound familiar to anybody? Many of them lived and died waiting for the one we prepare our hearts to celebrate in this Advent season. The one God promised in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 when he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end." Imagine a world ruled by God and there's endless peace. They were waiting for the one who would fulfill God's promise, the one who would set things right, and his name is Jesus. Just for a moment, put yourself in the Israelites' place. A promise was made, but generations had passed and no Messiah. Their ancestors died and never saw the promise fulfilled. And if that wasn't bad enough, when Christ was born, the Jews had not had a word from God for 400 years. They lived through 400 years during which God did not speak to them. No prophet spoke, no prophet wrote. There was no word from the Lord. No word of encouragement, no prophetic word, no nothing. They probably would have welcomed a word of condemnation just to hear God say something. At least we don't have that problem. God has left us his complete written word, and we can hear him speak anytime we want. Just open your Bible. When Jesus died on the cross for us and we accepted the free gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit took up permanent residence in our hearts, and God yet speaks to us through his Spirit. When Jesus died for us and we accepted his free gift of salvation, he tore open the curtain that kept us out of the Holy of Holies, kept us out of God's presence, and gave us unfettered access to God. And we can talk to him, and he talked to us, and we don't need a priest to do it for us. God has spoken, and he continues to speak. Let the church say amen. We will never have to endure a day of a God who is completely silent. And then after 400 years, the silence was broken. No, the silence was shattered. Some shepherds got a word. King Herod got the word. The Magi got a sign. The angels burst forth in song. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and the silence was over. God had kept his promise, and with that one mighty act, God changed the world forever. Is there a promise God has made to you, and you're waiting for God to fulfill it? Maybe it's a job, a relationship, or a new housing situation. Maybe you've hit a dead end in your life and you've been praying that God will provide a new opportunity, an open door, an open window, an open anything. Maybe you're just waiting for a better world. But every day the news gets worse. The world is full of violence. It's full of injustice. It's full of unfairness. Maybe you've lifted up frustrated prayers to God asking, how long will this go on? How long do we have to wait? My brothers and my sisters, hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. The story I read in your hearing, that's Simeon's story, can't teach us anything about waiting at the line in the grocery store, the bank, or the gas station, or waiting for mail, deliveries, trains, planes, or buses. But Simeon's story does teach us something about waiting on God. I want to use for a thought this morning, it pays to wait on God. First of all, what happened to Simeon demonstrates that when God makes a promise, we can wait calmly, contentedly, and confidently because he always keeps his promises. We don't have to get agitated, attitudinal, and aggravated. We can wait on him well. The text says that Simeon was a good, God-fearing man and that he was waiting for Israel to be saved. Notice that even though Simeon had probably been waiting for a long time, he remained a good, God-fearing man. Simeon didn't allow the waiting to change his attitude towards God. While Simeon waited, he kept on serving. He kept on being grateful to God for his goodness. He kept on worshiping. He kept on praising. He didn't give up. He didn't give in, and you shouldn't either. And because Simeon was a good, God-fearing man, because he was waiting well, at some point in his life, and we don't know when, the text doesn't tell us, God blessed him with a visit from the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit came, he assured Simeon, he promised Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's God, the Lord's Messiah. Because Simeon trusted God, because Simeon loved God, because Simeon had faith that God would do just what he said he would do, because Simeon had faith that God, I say it again, would do just what he promised he would do, because Simeon waited well, God gave Simeon a specific promise. Israel had a general promise of a Messiah, but God blessed Simeon with a specific promise that his eyes would see the Messiah before he died. That's what God does when we wait on him well. God will speak into your lives through his word and through his Holy Spirit, and he'll let us know, he'll assure us that our waiting is not in vain, that he is with us, that he is for us, that he has a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future. We've got to learn how to wait. We've got to know that we know that we know that we know that when God makes a promise, we can wait calmly and contentedly and confidently because God keeps his promises. We can wait well on him. Hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. Like Simeon, we've got to learn to stand boldly on the promises of God and never waver and never doubt and know that the God we serve is going to bring us out. Nothing is too difficult for God. He's a God of the impossible. He's a God that's bigger than the biggest problem you have. If God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, what is it that you think he can't or won't do for you? And if God has made you a promise, you can rest assured he'll keep it. Hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. Even if God has not made you a specific promise, he has made all of us some promises. And even in this season of waiting, we have to stand on the promises of God and wait for God to answer our prayers. And we've got to wait well. We've got to wait calmly. We've got to wait contentedly. We've got to wait confidently. And if we do that, we'll be blessed. God has promised he will fight for us. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. God has promised that he will never leave or forsake us. We are never alone. God has promised that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. He'll never let you down. God has promised that if we call on him, he will answer us. Don't move until you got an answer from God. God has promised that if we delight in him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Dream big dreams for God. He will deliver. God has promised that he will make our path straight if we don't lean to our own understanding and if all our ways we acknowledge him, and he'll never mislead you. God has promised us a peace that surpasses all understanding. Bask in his presence. God has promised us joy that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Celebrate his goodness every day. God has promised that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God has promised us that no matter how dark, no matter how dire, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, he will make all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God has made you some general promises, and he's made you some specific promises. Stand on the promises of God and wait well. Wait calmly. Wait contentedly. Wait confidently, knowing that God never comes short of his word. Hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. Secondly, what happened to Simeon demonstrates that when we wait on God well, God will bless us in ways that we can't even think or imagine. And when God delivers on his promises, he will deliver big. Look at what God did for Simeon. The text says after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph, these faithful Jewish parents, did everything for their son according to God's law. That means when he was 8 days old, they had him circumcised. And when he was 40 days old, they made the required sacrifices to redeem him as a firstborn son. They did what they needed to do to dedicate him and to make themselves ceremonially clean. The Holy Spirit came back, told Simeon, go to the temple. When Simeon gets to the temple, becomes Mary and the baby Jesus. When you're faithful, when you wait well, when you wait calmly and contentedly and confidently, God will direct your path so that good meets you on the way. When you're faithful, when you wait well, God will position you so that you're in the right place at the right time to receive your blessing. When you're faithful, when you wait well, God will make it happen for you. Just follow the Spirit's leading. Don't ask why. Don't ask how. Just obey the Spirit's leading. Simeon followed the Spirit's leading, and he went to the temple. And when he got to the temple, Mary arrives with the baby Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit was with him, Simeon recognized that this baby, out of all the babies he'd ever seen, was the promised Messiah. When you wait well, the Holy Spirit gives you not only ears to hear, but eyes to see. Hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. The text tells us that when Simeon took Jesus in his arms, he praised God and said, "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel." Imagine that. Simeon wasn't just blessed to see the Messiah, but God allowed him to hold the baby Jesus in his arms. I imagine that Simeon didn't know, didn't expect, and couldn't have imagined that he would hold the Savior he had waited for so long in his arms. What a blessing. We need to learn to wait like Simeon, because when we wait well, God delivers on his promise, and he doesn't just deliver. He pulls out all the stops. Look back in the rearview mirror of your life. Just take a look back, and I bet you can think of a time when God absolutely wowed you. Wowed you. You got that degree that some folks said you'd never get, and other folk tried to keep you from getting, and you know that it was nothing but the goodness of God. Wow. The doctor said you would never conceive, but now you've had not just one, but two babies, and you know that it was nothing but the grace of God. Wow! The doctor said you would never get well. You were going to die, and you're here because you knew that you served a good God, an able God, a God of the impossible, and you waited on the Lord. And God didn't just make you well. He made you whole. And you know that it was nothing but the mercy of God. Wow! Think back on your wow moments with God, and you'll see that when you trusted and believed and waited calmly, confidently, and contentedly, he blessed you beyond measure. You just had to hold on. Help was on the way, and it came. Thirdly, what happened to Simeon demonstrates that not only can we wait calmly, contentedly, and confidently on the Lord, but we can celebrate even while we wait. Those of us who are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, saints of God, don't need to wait until the waiting is over to celebrate. We ought to celebrate while we're waiting, knowing that help is on the way. When Simeon looked at Jesus, he said, "With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation." Don't miss this. Simeon doesn't say, "I have seen the Messiah." He says, "I have seen your salvation." Think about it. All Simeon saw with his physical eyes was a baby, a child a few weeks old, a child of poor parents. All he saw was divinity in a diaper. He didn't know when, and he didn't know how salvation would come through this infant, but he praised God in advance. He celebrated before he saw the fullness of the promise made manifest. Here's what I love about Simeon. God had promised that the Messiah would come and save Israel, and all that Simeon needed was the promise. Because of his faith in the promise, he didn't just see a baby. He saw the total fulfillment of the promise. He saw the Savior of the world who was going to raise up the fallen nation of Israel to its former glory and give light and hope to the Gentiles. He didn't see a helpless child, but he saw the Redeemer who would make atonement for sin and ascend to the right hand of God. He was looking at the face of a 40-day-old baby who had done nothing yet except be born in a manger. Salvation in the world would not come for another 30 years, but Simeon saw the salvation of the world that day. Simeon knew that God had promised a deliverer who would set the captives free. So as he looked at this baby, he heard the voice of Isaiah talking about the Messiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." He saw Emmanuel, God with us. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he didn't care about all that. God had kept his promise of a Savior, and this baby was the fulfillment of that promise, and that was enough for him. Simeon held on, and he says to you this morning, hold on. Help is on the way. It pays to wait on God. Simeon was so convinced and so satisfied that salvation had come that he said, "I'm ready to die now." Beloved, we're on the other side of the cross. That part of the wait is over. But he's promised that he's coming back again. And when he does, he's going to make all things new, crooked things straight, wrong things right. He's promised that he's coming back again. And when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. So we can celebrate now. We can celebrate while we're waiting for the fullness of the promise to be realized. This Christmas, when you wake up, remember God's promises to you and celebrate now. This Christmas, when you wake up, see all of God's promises fulfilled. See the day that this crooked government is gone, replaced by the righteous government of our Savior. Celebrate now. This Christmas, when you wake up, take a moment and see the wonderful gifts God has given you. Wait well for the rest and celebrate now. This Christmas, when you wake up, be thankful for the gifts under the tree. But even if there are none, no problem. Be thankful for the greatest gift of all, that baby in a manger who only lived 33 years and then died a gruesome death on a cross and gave all of our sins, past, present, and future. Wait well for the gifts that you want and celebrate what you have now. Be like Simeon. He praised God when he held the baby Savior in his arm. He celebrated even though the oppression was not over. He celebrated even though they were still under Roman rule. He celebrated even though nothing had changed in the natural, because with the birth of Christ, everything had changed in the spiritual. And the spiritual is what really matters. Just as Simeon saw the reality of salvation in Jesus fulfilled and praised God, we can live now in the reality of his second coming and praise God now. Don't just wait. Celebrate. If God has promised healing, your healing is on the way. Don't just wait. Celebrate. If God has promised you deliverance, your deliverance is on the way. Don't just wait. Celebrate. If God has promised you that your finances will turn around, your financial recovery is on the way. Don't just wait, celebrate. When God makes a promise, like Simeon, we can live and walk in the reality of that promise. Learn, please learn to wait well. Wait calmly, wait contentedly, wait confidently, knowing that God keeps his promises. Remember, God blesses us mightily when we wait on him. Have faith in him. Trust in him. Trust that he will do just what he said he will do. And because our God is so faithful, Don't just wait for him to fulfill his promises. Don't just wait. Celebrate. Won't you give God praise this morning? This morning. Amen. We serve an awesome God. Just an awesome, amazing, magnificent God. To serve a God who can do all things but fail. That we know keeps absolutely every one of his promises. Ought to enable us to live even through this period with hope in our hearts. I've seen a lot of despair in a lot of people. Look to the manger this Christmas. Maybe God is slowing us down because he wants us to understand what matters. Hold on. Help is on the way. Wait on God to give you what you need. Don't take matters into your own hands. That's a sure way to fail when not see all of God's promise in full. We thank and praise God for being who he is.